Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera! They see us!
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Welcome back to the Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today we have Dr. Shelley Kerr, and she deals with hypnosis. Sometimes you have to dig back into the past to heal yourself, and that's to heal your ancestors first, going way back into your ancestors, maybe before the Civil War, maybe to the 14th century. Dr. Shelley does that through hypnosis. And I will get into my conversation with Dr. Shelley Kerr in a few moments. But I want to give a quick shout out to Annette Bragg. She is the founder and teacher at the White Barn Healing Arts Center in Ravenna, Ohio. And I will put her links at the bottom of this podcast as well. I will be right back after these following messages with my conversation with Dr. Shelley Kerr.
Hey guys, this is Vanessa. My podcast is Life Paranormal with Me. Listen as I serve you all things spirit, paranormal, and unexplained. Join me every other Saturday as my guest host and I recount our own experiences that will perplex and utterly terrify you. Life Paranormal with V is available on all major platforms such as Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Join the Lifer fam by following me on Twitter at VLifeParanormal. Follow, like, subscribe, and hit that notification button so you can always catch a ride on this spooky vibe.
Today we have Shelley Kerr, who is the author of Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life. Welcome, Shelley.
Al, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. I just finished your book, Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life. And I found the title very intriguing. And then I read your book and I thought it was just tremendous. It just flowed. I mean, even having your own exercises you can do yourself at the end of the book. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about your background and what got you into hypnosis and the afterlife.
Yes. Thank you for reading my book. I really appreciate it, first off. I've been interested in this kind of thing my whole life. I had a very eclectic family who exposed me to a lot of very interesting ideas when I was very young. I grew up in New Mexico and I moved to Colorado Springs when I was a kid. And my mother attended a luncheon with the woman who was in the book called The Search for Bridie Murphy, which was a very, very famous past life regression book that came out in the 70s. In the book, a woman had bad allergies. She went to doctors. She never got any relief. So finally, it got so bad, they said, you need to go to a hypnotherapist and see if you can get over your allergies. So when she went and was hypnotized, the hypnotherapist told her to go back to the source event of where her allergies actually began. And she ended up zapping back into a prior incarnation in Ireland and had all these details about this village. So she wrote a book, bottom line. My mother met her, bought the book, and she brought the book home to the family dinner table when I was a little kid. And so normal people, Al, I don't know what they were doing, but we were sitting around the family dinner table talking about past lives and reincarnation. And from the minute this happened, I just said, wait a minute, this feels real. It feels like the truth. And then years later, as an adult, a friend of mine was killed in an accident. And I began, speaking of ghosts in the valley, I began having occurrences of seeing him in a window and experiencing his energy different places until somebody finally said, you need to have a past life regression. I had a past life regression and went so deeply into this state of hypnosis that I experienced that I had known this person in many, many lifetimes. And it really healed this unresolved grief that I had been carrying around at the time. And it was so profound and made such an impact on my life that I decided I wanted to do this for other people. So I started doing past life regressions. I've written several books on that now. And I have more coming out from Llewellyn, coming forth later this year and next year, et cetera. And so the ancestor book, Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life, really came about because, you know, many, many years ago when I was working with clients, when you're in the past life regression, let's say you have an issue, I want, just like what happened to me, just like what happened to the woman with her allergies, we have to get you back to the source event of where certain issues first originated from. So usually I'm attempting to take people back to, you know, the most significant past life they had or the earliest past life they had. But then intuitively, there were certain cases where I kept feeling like, you know what, I don't feel that we're getting to where we need to go with this particular client. So I created this process many years ago of having people go into their minds and have visionary encounters with their parents. This is like the higher self of the parents. So not, you know, if their parents have crossed over, that's fine. Or if they're still, you know, on the planet, that's okay too. But they're meeting with the souls of their parents and saying, okay, mom and dad, so is there anybody in our family who needs a healing today? And if mom says, yes, we need a healing, then they're able to travel back in time, not into their past lives, but into events that happened to their ancestors. And then by sending light and healing, we basically shift the energetic component around tragedies and things like that. And it starts to create a healing in the person and subsequently in all members of the family. And that's basically how the book came about.
You know, years ago, my brother-in-law, well, actually I had two family members that were hypnotized and were healed. One from being a steady smoker and healing from not having another cigarette. Another one was with depression, you know. And I was a firm believer of both of these, you know. And, you know, I've had past guests on that were psychics and mediums. And you remind me a lot of a psychic medium. I mean, do you feel that sometimes?
Yeah, there's been so many things that have gone on over the years, Al. I had a near-death experience during some time of my life also. And so when I went into that light, I came back with a lot of knowing. So when I work with clients, I'm kind of also seeing things that they see before they go there. But I try not to tell them because I want them to have their own experience. And I've given readings and things like that over the years. I've kind of let go of that part of my practice, though, because I really believe that we all have those answers within us. And I think that the guided imagery journeys and things that people can do, even just with this book, for example, I've tried to give people all the tools that they need, because I think it's more impactful in some ways for them to have these epiphanies occur to them on their own so that they can let these things go.
Yeah, the reason I say that, because, you know, you had mentioned about was a friend that passed away, mm-hmm. and you've had a contact with them, right? I mean, and so I that's why it kind of threw me for a minute, you know, like, it reminds me a lot of, I've had many psychics and mediums on the show, and all of them are very good. And I did say earlier that you were interested in the afterlife. I also should have said the past life mainly, you know, and current life and at least two afterlife, you know. So yeah, I mean, I was really intrigued by the title alone, and then getting into the book, I'm like, Wow, man, this is really deep. You know, speaking of going into somebody's mind, do you find that, you know, the brain is, I mean, consciously, you're only using just a small portion of it. You think subconsciously you can use more?
Yeah, I think that we're really, well, I took a college psychology class where we were learning that the human being can only actually process about 7 pieces of information at any given time. But there's all kinds of things going on around us, but we're just not able to even hold it in consciousness. So I think that I've always believed that everything that we're seeing and experiencing is being recorded in the brain. And so that when we go into these guided imagery processes, we're just kind of able to slow down the brainwaves a little bit and start grabbing some of these other pieces of wisdom that are in there, but that we just don't always have access to. You know, I think it's all there. We're just kind of limited with these physical bodies to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think through hypnosis, you know, you can actually go in and, you know, find something that's there that they don't know it's there.
Yes.
You know, because I had a medium on a show in the past that said that I thought was interesting was that our DNA is very complex from blood, body, and soul. So I was just curious, you know, on your experience when you go into somebody's mind and help them dig further in their past. Is it because through the DNA?
I think particularly when we're talking about the ancestors piece, what's interesting, even beyond the psychic stuff, is that real scientists are actually starting to say now that 50% of who we are when we show up as a personality in the world is directly brought through our DNA. And so I think that's one of the reasons why tuning into the ancestors is so powerful. But also when I'm working with clients, if I'm taking them through guided imagery, if this is a one-on-one thing, I sometimes, like, if I ask people a question and they start to tell me a story, I kind of can project my mind into whatever it is they're seeing and things like that. So I can help them to navigate through these spaces, which is kind of interesting. I don't really know how I've come to understand how to do that, but so sometimes if they get stuck, it can be helpful. But I still think that they, you know, hopefully I've designed the exercises so that they can get the answers that they need. That's what my goal is.
You know, you're going way back, and some of these stories I've read in your book, sometimes you go back to an ancestor and they're still not satisfied, you know, with the outcome of that. It's not helping them. So you go back even further in time. I found that very, very interesting.
Yeah, it gets into this idea that it's kind of like if we had a weed in the garden, then if we just take the lawnmower over it, then it's going to end up coming back up again. So in these guided imageries, I'm trying to get people to go back to the very, very source event of where the energy originated from, even if that's with the ancestors. Then we've got to keep going back until, you know, the client can identify that, yes, this is actually the source event. And then when we try to put some light and healing, and I have them just kind of sit there while we're putting light and energy into events that happened to the ancestors until things start to feel a little bit lighter and brighter, until they start to feel a little bit better. And there's a real energetic shift that people can sense when, oh, you know what, that does feel a little bit better now. And then that really can then create a ripple in time in the space fabric, if you will, that can really make a positive impact on people.
Now, when you're talking about the light, you know, I've read that in almost every one of your clients that, you know, you're shining the light down on the ancestor to heal them. But where's this light? What is the light?
I teach a lot of, over the years, taught a lot of energy healing classes. So, you know, your listeners, a lot of them are probably familiar with Reiki or energy healing. I believe that there's a, you know, there's energy that's available to us from the universe, from God, from source, whatever you want to call that. And that we can bring the universal energy through the crown of our head, through our hands to others. So it's kind of like the same place where Reiki comes from, for those who are familiar with that. So we're just, but in any guided imagery, you know, people have tremendous abilities to heal and to make their lives better and to just improve just about any situation simply by tapping into the inexhaustible wellspring of our imagination. So when we're in this guided imagery space, it's like we're using our imagination to imagine that we are seeing or feeling this bright beam of heavenly light that's coming down. And we just imagine that the people that people are seeing, because when they go into these instances in the book, it's like they're floating over people. They've never seen these people in their life, but they can say, oh, well, you know what? That's my ancestor. That's my great, 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 great grandfather or whoever it is. And they'll know who it is. And we'll say, wonderful. Okay, what's going on there? Well, there's some tension, obviously, or we probably wouldn't be there because this is why we're doing a healing. So let's imagine some lights coming down. So either, you know, some people are visual. Maybe they're going to see a light. Some people are going to feel energetically that things are lightening up. Or I'll have them just have a gut feeling that, you know, some light is getting sent here. And then we just wait until that light starts to, you know, wash away the sadness or alleviate pain or whatever the negative emotion is. It doesn't always mean that we're going to wave a magical wand to make everything go away, but we're just asking that maybe really tense feelings could be neutralized and just calmed a bit. And then that tends to make the person, the client themselves, start to feel a bit more relaxed and at ease, which is really, really interesting.
What is a past life aggressionist? I mean, I've seen that you were labeled like a past life aggressionist.
Yeah, I just, I call myself a past life regressionist, I guess as a, I guess, would that be a verb for somebody who's doing past life regressions? I don't even know if it's a real world word, Al. I guess I made it up.
I like that.
But they sometimes in the book, I have to tell stories about, you know, my time as a past life regressionist. I don't know. My editor didn't make me take it out. So I was using my imagination. No.
You know, I see that you combine energy work with hypnosis. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot in this book that was really fascinating.
There's a weird, I don't know, when I went into the light, when I had this weird near-death experience, which was back in 2000, when I came out of this experience, I somehow had this understanding about how to move energy. And when I began doing hypnosis, there was this inner knowing that came from somewhere beyond myself that when people have memories of things that happened to them in the past, that those memories, you know, that thoughts really are things, that's not just some new age mumbo jumbo, and that these thoughts could be stuck in the energetic fields around the body. And so I began understanding that while doing any kind of guided imagery, there has to be an energetic component to that. And so by using the light, like when we send light to ancestors or in past lives, if people go back to something that's a bit more challenging, you know, we want to send light to those things because we can take those energetic blockages and just get rid of them and have the whole person's energetic demeanor completely alter for the better, let's just say. You know, it's kind of like when you learned how to do Reiki. It's kind of this very beautiful feeling of just connecting with God's energy. And I do know a lot of Christians who do it. I mean, I feel like it's become more accessible because, you know, there's that idea that Jesus, you know, was able to do healing. And Jesus said that, you know, these things you can do as well and all of that. So there's a lot of Christians who have actually, you know, signed on to this, let's just say.
My sister turned me on to the Healings Teepee, you know, and she's an ordained Methodist minister, you know.
Wow.
I thought that was really cool. If she's going there, you know, yeah, and I'll try it out, you know. I felt so relaxed after even the first session.
Wow, that's amazing.
White Barn Healing Center, they also take in animals that's going to be killed and put down, you know, like Amish don't, they can't use their horses anymore. You know, they put them down. Well, she takes the horses, the cattle, whatever, the pigs, and she keeps them on her farm so they're not slaughtered, you know.
Sweet.
But yeah, I was reading your book and I'm thinking, wow, this is, like I said, you know, the light, you know, and I was thinking of my sister, you know, because she, I try to have her explain a little bit about that to me, you know, and, And your book kind of touches on a lot of things, you know, even in hypnosis, you know, and going back that far. I mean, years and years and years ago. Like that, I think the one story in there about the woman had breast cancer.
Yes.
And was her mother and grandmother that died of this? And what I thought was so honest about your book was that, you know, it didn't keep her from getting breast cancer. You know, she still got it, but she didn't pass away from it.
Right.
You know, and I did like also the fact that you said, you know, you can't heal everybody, you know. Now, is that because the person doesn't want to be healed or they don't dig far enough?
Well, I teach a lot of energy healing practitioners, and I have to remind them, you know, that God is still in charge here. We are not in charge. So, and I think that people are very complicated in the sense that, you know, I may want what's best for someone, and I may have an interior vision of how I think that's supposed to look, but I have no idea. You know, I feel like every person on this planet has a purpose. I tend to believe that some of the things that we are doing here, maybe we signed up for them maybe before we arrived so we could have different learnings and things. And so I just think that it's, we can't see what really an outcome is going to be for somebody necessarily. We can want the best for them, but then the best for them may kind of elude us, and that we have to be very humble and just, you know, pray for people and just give them that energy and hope that it turns out the way it needs to. But we can't be too attached to it because we're just not in charge here, Al. I mean, you know.
Right. You had so many cool quotes in your book. I don't know if you came up with it, like when you said, heal yourself and your family and change the world. I love that.
Thank you.
When I got a hold of your publisher, you know, because I do go through Twitter and Facebook and social media and try to find, you know, future guests and either other podcast hosts or paranormal investigators. So I was thinking, so they must have you labeled under paranormal, you know. But would you consider yourself into the paranormal?
I definitely would, yes. That my publisher, they know me well. And I'm pretty far out, I think, in their book. Because I've got a lot of different books. They've done three of my books now, and I've got a few more that are forthcoming. So I did a book that came out May of 2020 called Past Lives with Pets, which is about people who discovered that they had known their pets in previous lifetimes. And then I've got some other really far out ones coming up as well. So yeah, I think that they probably consider me in the realm of the paranormal for sure. Because you have to, I'm just open to all things, Al. You know, you're obviously open to it as someone who is interested in ghosts. I'm just open to all possibilities. You know, this is an amazing universe we have here.
What I said when I first started this podcast like 3 years ago, you know, I've always said, I'm not here to judge the person, you know, telling their story. You know, I'm just to share the story and hopefully that what they're sharing with me is true and honest. Because I know myself, you know, from the novel I'm writing is based off of a true story from my first experience with, you know, a ghost. There's so many people in the paranormal that's labeled crazy or out there, mainly from non-believers, because they were always taught a certain way. You know, you're always taught, you know, as a child, that, you know, ghosts don't exist. I think it's in your upbringing, you know, a lot of it.
Yes.
Do you believe that maybe you're a tool to help somebody help themselves?
You know, I don't know where I write little journal notes and stuff. And I did just run across something where I wrote down that I want to help people to help themselves. That is really one of my missions, because I really believe that, you know, as crazy as some of the stuff I write about may sound, like you said, but it's really true to me. Some of these things that I have helped clients with are things that actually helped me in my own personal life. And so the reason why all of my books have tons of exercises in them, because I just really want to give people the actual tools that they need to do that for themselves, because I know that we all have these answers within us if we know which doors to open and know kind of what road to go down, you know.
I've seen your book, you know, you talk about Greek mythology and Olympian gods and Christianity. How would you sum all that up? That's why I was referring back to the light, you know, as a light part of that, or as a part of like you're saying, your inner self.
Yeah. Like right now, it's interesting you bring that up because I'm writing a book about, it's going to be called Past Lives in Ancient and Other Worlds. So we're digging into the ancient world, some people who thought they were, you know, on another planet and everything in between. Because the thing that's so interesting about life from my perspective is that I still believe, you know, we're all interconnected. We are a soul. We are an indestructible, unlimited soul that when we leave this earth, we're going on from here. Maybe we come back. I don't even know if I can, you know, I can't sit here with 100% certainty and even say that past lives are real, but there's some ability that people seem to have when they're taken into certain kinds of guided imagery where they can tap into other periods in time. And by doing so, and by tapping into certain stories that they're able to tell themselves, they're able to make sense out of this current wacky reality that we are living in. And so to me, it helps people find peace in this life so that they can be happier and just, you know, get through this crazy place that we're in, then that's really the bottom line. Whether it's real or not, I don't really know. But when you're speaking about, yeah, all the different things that I'm drawing from in these books, it's partly because when you take people into the past, you just don't never know where they're going to go. I mean, they could go, because it's still getting under this idea that, you know, time in our minds in the third dimension is a linear thing. But in reality, even scientists are now starting to understand time isn't actually a linear thing at all. We can reach out and grab the future. We can go into the past. And when we go into these places and use these like multidimensional memories or whatever you want to call them to make sense out of our own life, it just brings waves of peace and relaxation into the present moment that hopefully will help our fellow man and hopefully help us get along better with each other and, you know, make more, you know, just be happy. That's really all anybody wants.
I mean, you really have to be blown away when you go, when you have a client comes to you and with whatever problem they're having and you reach back in their ancestry. I mean, it has to blow you away. Go back before the Civil War, you know, and they're seeing somebody in their family line that can cure what they're dealing with.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
But you have to help them, you know. That's why I say, you know, get to the root of the problem. I mean, it has to be a great experience for you.
It is. It's really, really interesting. I've definitely become a real lover of history, just because of all the things people say and all the places they go. It makes you want to go dig up and do some research and think about, wow, you know, what they describe seems to be really valid here. This is amazing. And it is. I think people surprise themselves when they come back. They just can't believe because a lot of the things that people, you know, have occurred to them during a session, these are not things that they were consciously thinking about. This was not top of mind at breakfast this morning. And now all of a sudden this stuff is just coming up out of nowhere. It really takes people by surprise and it can be incredibly transformational.
And also, you know, you had mentioned about, like, say, maybe an adopted child, you know, that didn't know their real parent, you know, and then they can go back and find them. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I really wanted to include, there's a lot of exercises in this book because it's divided into mother healing, father healing, whole family healing. But I did want to include a huge percentage of the book to people who perhaps were not raised by their birth mother or their birth father, you know, because, and even if they've never met them before, we can still connect with their energy and we can still tap into that. And then you have to, along the same lines, you still also need to acknowledge, I do, especially from a past life and a soul contract kind of a perspective, that there's a huge, incredible love that an adoptive parent has towards a child. And that has to be acknowledged. I mean, that there's no accidents, you know, when people go into a family and they're loved by parents who didn't give birth to them or whatever. I mean, that's an amazing love story there that needs to be explored. And so sometimes the people have found, of course, that they've known each other in past lives and, You know, of course they were meant to meet. You know, these things are meant to be.
Another part that drew my attention was curses and vows.
Oh, yes.
Myself, you know, if you ever heard about the story about the conjured chest, that's my family line. It goes back to around 1840, and Jacob Cooley killed one of his slaves. His wife's going to have a baby, and he had one of the slaves make a baby chest, you know, and he didn't like the way it was made, even though it was made beautifully. And he killed the slave, beat him to death. Well, then it was the other slaves that came and put a curse on this baby's chest, you know. And 17 people through history have coolies have died from this curse. Right now, as far as I know, they're sitting in the Historical Society in Kentucky, and they don't bring it out to the public.
Wow.
Because you had put in there, you know, believing in curses. You know, first of all, if you believed in a curse or...
Wow, that is a fascinating story, actually. I got into the whole cursed thing. It was an accident, Al, but many years ago, I was being silly and I sent an email to my mailing list saying, hey, are you blessed, cursed, or are you just lucky? Because I think I'm like the luckiest, blessed person alive. And so I got all these emails back from the mailing list, and these people were telling me they were cursed beyond repair. And some of them were people I'd been friends with for 20 years. They were telling me that their ancestor was cursed in the 1300s and this and that was happening. And I was like, OMG, you've got to be kidding me. And so this ended up turning into, I go on Coast to Coast quite a bit, and George Norrie is a good friend of mine. He loves curses. So I guess through his encouragement, I mentioned it on the air, and it ended up turning into a book, and it was a huge hit for a while. But I really didn't want to spend a lot of my life just simply talking to the cursed, because a lot of the cursed don't seem to think that there's a resolution to these curses. You know, I still think there's a point where the individual would need to just make a decision that they're going to cut cords with this and let this go. So I wrote a book about it, but it has to come into play when we're talking about ancestors, because of, you know, that old biblical thing that the sins of the father are being replayed on the son. And then I do think that the stories around cursed objects and things like the conjured chest that you just described, that sounds completely fascinating to me. There's got to be some holographic thought forms or something that's causing things like that to happen. I believe they're possible. I do believe they're real. And yet I think that if people find themselves subjected to a curse, a lot of what I found by working with the cursed in private practice is that, you know, we're either glass half empty or glasses half full. So, you know, we need to move over to the half full side and start just seeing things in a new way. So I do my best to assist people with that. And so, of course, in the ancestor book, you know, some people could be cursed from something that happened in this life. But in the ancestor book, we're talking about, yes, people who maybe potentially thought that something their ancestor did, somebody gave them the evil eye, and then that's been being replayed and brought forward through time. And those things can, in my opinion, be alleviated and healed just by sending light and energy to these places.
As far as I know, that the curse has been lifted.
Wow.
And I did go back into the Cooley side back in during the Civil War. I did know that I had relatives that were slave owners. It didn't lead me back to Jacob Cooley, but it led me to some of the descendants. I just wanted to go see this chest, and I found out, well, they're not displaying the chest to the public. You know, but that was a couple of years ago. I don't know what's happened since then.
Man, you should do some kind of a show on that. That would be super interesting. Or a documentary.
I did have an episode, a past episode, and it was pretty popular. It perked my curiosity, so to speak, when I think, oh, curses and vows. Okay.
Yeah, like in this case that you're talking about, like that could be addressed. Let's say you were the ancestor, you were going to travel back in the past to when this incident happened and have your ancestor apologize for what he did to these people who cursed the family, and just talk to them in that way and see if that curse can be alleviated. In the ancestor book, I've got an example of a case where the guy went back and tried to apologize on behalf of the ancestor, but the person would not accept the apology. So then we kind of did something a little bit different, but you could try, you know, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
you don't mind me quoting your last sentence of your book?
Wonderful. Thank you.
By selecting a collective intention to spend love and good wishes to all beings, our positive choices will create a ripple throughout time and leave a lasting legacy for generations to come. Namaste. I remember that word, namaste. That's a yoga chant,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I always say namaste. I don't know why. I just love it.
Years ago, I heard that, you know, it's like, oh, I remember that now. Well, but I love that last part, you know, because, you know, you want to leave a lasting legacy for generations to come. Good wishes and love. Yeah, I thought that was a great way to end the book.
I feel like people are really kind of distressed lately because we do hear a lot about unkind things on the news or whatever, and it can be discouraging. But I feel like, you know, we still have a choice, you know, about how we react. And I feel like I still think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, they just watch the news, CNN, Fox, whatever, you know, especially with this past year in the elections and COVID. Yeah. And it's really torn this country apart, you know. And the part of me keeps thinking it's always been there, you know, just this diversion of people's hatred in their hearts. You know, it didn't just pop up.
Yeah.
It's been there, and we have to make a change, and people have to change themselves.
I think that bringing it to light, I think the COVID sent a lot of people over the edge, literally, and this has kind of bubbled this up. So all of this ugly material has come to light. And so, okay, it's not anything we wanted to notice, but it, like you said, it's probably always been there. So let's just get it up, take a look at it, and let's figure out how we can move past all this and get beyond this. And then that's how we're going to get to where we need to be, because we do need to just be loving each other and thinking about all of our similarities and commonalities that we all share.
Definitely. I know we've been talking about heal your ancestors to heal your life, but what other books have out?
Oh my gosh, I have so many books out. I've got the ones I mentioned from Llewellyn. The very first book I wrote on past lives is called Life Stream. That one came out in 2002. It was a journeys into past and future lives where I take people into their current life future. And then I had another one called Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories, came out from Llewellyn in March of 2020. No, February of 2020, I think. It was before the pandemic, right before the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before everything shut down. So in that one, I also talk about like how people can relieve trauma using these kinds of methods by sending light, you know, reframing the way we're viewing reality, traveling into future memories and things like that. And then coming out in December, I've got a really exciting one called Blast from the Past, Healing Spontaneous Past Life Memories. I put a series out in 2015 that I self-published, because I self-published some of my stuff, about a phenomenon that I call supretrovi, which is a spontaneously induced past life memory. So when we travel somewhere, it was happening to me. I had all kinds of strange things happen on different trips. And then I started interviewing people. One of my friends, you spoke about the Civil War earlier, one of the really profound case histories. She showed up out to Vicksburg, Mississippi when she was a little girl and just almost had a nervous breakdown because she could hear the cannons and the Civil War, you know, and she went into this little movie in her mind and saw the Civil War battlefield. And so I've discovered that this is very, very common. And so that means that, you know, I feel like the soul can actually tap into who we were in prior lifetimes without guided imagery and hypnosis. But when these things happen, then we use the guided imagery processes then for healing certain things rather than simply discovering the past life, you know, up front. So that one will be, so Blast from the Past is coming from Llewellyn. It's my follow-up to the series I put out in 2015. So I'm really looking forward to it because I don't think anyone else has really spoken about this in the way that I'm talking about, but I'm convinced that every person alive is probably receiving these intuitively weird impressions of things that happened to them in the past, but they just don't have any place for it. Because like you said earlier, like our minds are so limited in what we can hold in consciousness at any given time that sometimes some weird thought comes to somebody and then they just push it aside and they don't think about it again. But I feel like we're being bombarded by memories of the past all the time, and that the soul truly is longing to go back to the places that we've lived in the past lives. We're wanting to connect and, you know, reestablish the friendships that we had in the past and things like that. And I don't really believe that a lot of these things that we go through are very coincidental. I think, you know, things happen for a reason.
I totally agree. And that's probably why you're the past life lady.
Yes, I like past lives.
Yeah, I love that. You know, thepastlifelady.com. They have people have to go, my listeners have to go there, check you
Thank
out.
You.
Are your books on that site?
Yeah, if they go to the website, there's a book link and it'll take them over to my Amazon author page. And I write a lot about energy healing and things like that too. So,
and I will put all your links on the bottom of this podcast.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you being on the show today. Read or hear about your next novel.
Yeah, it's going to be December 8th.
Oh, great. That's my birthday.
Oh, wow. I love it.
Shelley, Kerr, thank you very much.
Al, it was a joy to talk to you. I love your show. Keep it going. It's definitely a service to humanity to put these kinds of ideas out for people to decide for themselves. Thank you for inviting me. It was fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll get you back on after when your next book comes out.
That sounds great. Yes, I would love it.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Dr. Shelley Kerr for being on my show today. And I really enjoyed my conversation with Shelley. Her link will be at the bottom of this podcast. Check out Shelley's events and her books at thepastlifelady.com. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghost in the Valley podcast.